This episode of Morning Brew is brought to you by our friends at Sparks, home of the world's greatest sharpener. Go check out sparkshockey.com. And also Apex Entertainment. Apex in Marlboro has 100,000 square feet of pure fun for all ages. And we are thrilled to welcome Apex Entertainment to the Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor family. You know, at times I try to be witty, entertaining, different, maybe sometimes try a little too hard at that because it's not my thing. But, you know, especially when the intro comes up, I want to have a strong start to the show, Razors. We welcome you into Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor as the Bruins fall on Thursday night, 3-1 to the New York Islanders. But right now, bud, I got nothing. I got abso-freaking-lutely nothing witty, interesting, charming, or I think remotely entertaining. And I think I'm just, you know, I've tried to be strong. I'm being honest here. Like, I think I'm just, I'm done. I'm COVID. I don't say it's beat me, but it has worn me down right now. As again, we welcome you into the show. How's that for a positive freaking introduction? Boy, that doesn't sell the show. What does?
First impressions are so lasting. And yes. That was, yeah, those were great words. Yeah. Let's just yeah, we all feel it. It's there. It's in the air. And just imagine having to go play an NHL hockey game with right. that feeling. Right. Yeah. I think that's a good place for us to start. I think it actually is a good intro because it is something that's, for me personally, and I'm not going to speak for you, it's the last 3 days snuck up on me in a big way, like a really, really big way. My parents can finally come visit me a couple weeks ago. We're good. We're making plans for February. We're making plans for April. And then all of a sudden, 2 days ago, like, we can't play NHL games anymore. Mm-hmm. And then and I don't have to play NHL hockey games. So let's just think about that and let that sink in, listening and whoever watched the game, and just imagine how hard it was to do that and then play at the highest level on the planet with all those things hanging over you. It's not easy. It's just human nature. It's not easy.
No. You know, you wonder, am I going to be lacing up my skates or am I going to be going to order, DoorDash for the next 10 days type of thing? Yeah. Or, you know, am I going to be starting to get my groceries delivered to me again? And whether you
am
have
I,
symptoms
am I
or not,
packing right? for right. to go to Montreal or am I not going? Or what are we doing when we get up in the morning? What's, you know,
am I going to see my family again? You know, am I going to see them again or am I going to get, you know, dinged somewhere?
I got to call my wife as soon as this game's over and tell her where we're at again. And, you know, like, so it's bananas. It's really, and it's cross pro sports. NFL changed some protocols, but it's NBA 400 positives, NHL 400 positive, NFL 500. Like it's wild what happened in the last 6 days. Crazy.
Yeah. They said it was going to come, and I don't even mean the variant, just that the surge was going to come, but the veracity of it. Veracity, that's the probably think the right word. Don't act smart, Billy. I think that is what, as you said, came up on everybody. I mean,
won't do a smart word. I'll just say the quickness of it. It's not like it hasn't been. I'm not. Yeah, it's just quickly. Just wow, no. Well, what just happened? And
it's put us completely back in our place, that awful place of what's going on. And yes, we have certain things that are better, but I'm having a hard time finding the proverbial positives right now, Razor. You know, between medication, vaccine. Look, I'm good with vax. I love it. It's I have a family member who's going through COVID right now. That I pray that the vaccine works, you know, to mitigate what it is. And I think it does, and it will. But when I'm all said and done, what I'm saying is it still feels like we're in that phase of, oh no, are you kidding me? Now, I'm trying to be positive, bud. I'm saying a few months from now, we're going to motor through this. We're going to get there. And I know that in the back of my mind, but I have a hard time seeing that back of my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'll give you the positive. Yes. I'm, you know, if we keep it to the NHL and how they change things. I mean, for me, my Christmas is going to be much better. My parents are driving down next week and they're going to be here and we're hanging out. Like that hasn't happened for the last 2 years. So I'm still quite bullish on where we're at compared to where we were. Mm-hmm. So from that respect, but it's the unknown of how they're going to fix this and how they get through this. Mm-hmm. is taxing, because I basically, you just need to, you need to like grin and bear it. That's what's wild. And
so is it right that they're not going to cancel or pause the season? Because I don't think they're going to, unless we get extreme measures. And I don't even want to go there in my head, because that would be awful.
Yeah, no. I don't think so. I think if you'd start talking about the NFL now changing and having tests that recognize how much virus you have in your body and how much mm-hmm. virus you have on a daily basis and how contagious you are with the CT levels that they just passed tonight. I think the NFL, I feel like the other leagues were waiting for them to make the first move. Mm-hmm. And everyone will follow suits. If they can get these proper tests that recognize what your symptoms are and if you are transferable, if you have 20 guys like Calgary and two of them have symptoms, then we have to address that as a professional hockey league. So, but a lot, there's so many questions, right? That's where
unknown questions with unknown answers. Stuff. You're literally learning on the job every second of this debacle, this pandemic.
Crazy.
So
and this is a new one.
Yes, this is a whole new thing. Let's put ourselves, I guess, into the Bruins. I don't want to say locker room, but you know what I mean. Into their hotel, spending the Thursday night in New York instead of heading up to Canada, giving it as much time to stay in the States and also to address the needs of testing in the States, get it done, see if there's any more. Would you vote to, you know, knowing that there's a chance that you could get, if you got a positive between Friday night and then Sunday night in Canada, that you may have to stay there? Now, maybe not for 14 days, because I do think that there's ways that the Bruins management can work it out, whether it's via car or via special plane, whatever, to get players out. Mm-hmm. There's a cost to it, significant cost. But you're going to be up there for a couple of days probably before they can work it out. Are you voting, if you had a vote, if you had that proverbial yay or nay, you voting stay or go?
Well, now that we're talking, Carolina got their guys out. Sebastian Aho took mm-hmm. the flight out, him and the...
So did Jarvis.
So that changes it. For me, that changes it. So I'd be willing...
Wait, 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 wait a sec. Now, hold on. That was the owner They were able to, they had to get them, if I heard this correctly, they had to get them from...
They took the private plane, yeah.
Right, Vancouver to Washington State, and they had to prove that they would not touch Canadian, the public ever, that they would not, that they would go from hotel, you know, bubble to Washington State without ever exposure to the public, Canadian public. And then Tom Dundon had his plane out there, a medevac plane, basically that's what it was. And then they shipped them back, or are shipping them back that way. But it took some time. It took some time. That, you don't mind if it's, let's say instead of 14 days, it's 4 days, 5 days. You're willing to take that chance.
Yeah. As long as I'm home by Christmas, then that's what I'll do. I mean, obviously if there's five cases tomorrow for the Bruins, then you can't play. I mean, they're down to their last man. The organization can't handle putting out, you can't just keep rolling out 16 guys, but if no one tests positive tomorrow, they played a game tonight with 16 guys, then, you know, that's what you're getting paid the big bucks for. Go up there and play hockey for a couple of days. And that's the reality of pro sports, folks. That's what you do if, you know, you miss a lot of stuff. And this is one of those things, too, where, you know, if I get the, whether it's 2 days or 3 days, but I can be home for December 23rd, then, and I see that already had happened with another team, then yeah, I'm going.
Yeah. I guess I'd have a tendency to lean towards going, but I don't think you can, I do not think you can rely on the fact that just because one team was able to pull it off, that you're going to be able to pull it off. Now, again, maybe because you're in the Eastern Seaboard, it's closer. Maybe you can do the whole car thing. There could be a handoff, so to speak. I don't know. I don't know all of the parameters. But I'd be nervous, just like Jonathan Drouin came out after Thursday's game with the Montreal Canadiens and said publicly that the team is concerned. He's concerned. He's not sure how comfortable he is with having the Bruins come to town. And I don't blame him. Razor, I don't blame him. I think that, you know, I think everybody knows there's a distinct chance that some shit can happen. So just it's just a quandary that we're in, that, you know, we've talked about it, I don't want to say too much, but it's that this is the story. This is the topic right now that is far greater than breaking down the X's and O's of a team that was without seven guys, you know, on the ice. I mean, that's, you know, not that that isn't important. We can talk about how the Bruins, especially against the Islanders, played better than they did previous game against Vegas. But, you know, when it's all said and done, COVID's the story.
It's a story, and it was a valiant effort from the Bruins. And when you don't have the horses, you sometimes, you need puck luck, and they didn't get it tonight. Allmark was great. They did a good job putting pucks to the net. They got 41 shots. They needed a couple to go off a skate and get in.
Yeah.
They needed a couple more. They needed that Riley goal early so then they could hang on later, like they did in Calgary, like they did in Edmonton. It didn't happen that way. And again, this turns into a holding your head above water here for the next 4, 5, 6 games, whatever it is, until they get everybody back. And it really does feel, until, unless the league changes protocols, unless things change, that every single team is going to go through this.
Yes.
That's the way I see it now, is that get through it. You don't have to test for 90 days after you all get through this and move on. But every team, unless things change protocol wise, then you're all dealing with this. So that actually does make it a competitive balance, because no one's going to be safe.
Right. The teams that have already experienced it, didn't Colorado already have it once? I think we know Ottawa did. Florida's going through it now. Carolina's obviously going through it now. Calgary has been decimated by it.
Islanders lost 11 in a row. And look at this. Look at the standings. Right. Look at the standings. It used to be really spread out. Now everybody's compressed. Through 17 is like within 4 or 5 points. So this is because it's catching up with everybody. It really is.
Right. I use the word quandary again. It's a quandary though that every team, the waiting game, it has to be tiring. When's it going to happen to us?
Mm-hmm.
That has to be. And that's why the old saying again, bank points when you can.
Yep.
Bring them in. I mean, we had some big names besides Marchand and Bergeron go out. You had Makar go out, Darcy Kuemper go out just on Thursday evening as well. I mean, those are huge names, like the rest of them. I mean, Florida's now lost a couple of games remarkably in a row. Remarkably, Carolina won a game with missing at least two, if not three players. I guess the best news is that for the most part, Razor, most guys are in good spirits and mild symptoms. There have been a few that have suffered a lot. Jack Capuano, associate head coach of Ottawa, he had a bad case of it. And that is going to happen. I mean, but for the most part, the guys are.
Yeah, the players aren't, though. The players aren't.
Yeah. All right. A couple of things. You know, you watch the game against the Islanders. Pastrnak. Seven games in a row now without a goal. Again, hard to criticize given what is or is not out there. Hard to judge in two. You know, I mean, there's not a lot of cohesiveness. Trying too hard, a little bit frustrated, not bearing down enough at times too. I mean, you talk about the Riley goal. You know, you would have liked it earlier. Pasta had a great chance. The play where he brought the puck to the middle, and he went. I think he went to. He did go to his back end. I think he was trying to go five hole through Varlamov, but Varlamov, he put it back actually late to the top of the pad. He was late.
Yeah, he was late, and he got away with it. Yeah,
yeah. That was kind of how Varlamov was the whole first period and part of the second. He was a little, whether it was late, he was just off. But being just off enough actually worked in his benefit.
Yeah. And he's 0-5-1 going into that was his first win all season. So Bruins fans think of him as this guy who shut them down the last three games of the playoff. He's been really bad this year and he's had injuries, but he's obviously been working hard because the hockey gods paid him off tonight. Pasta had a great chance. He came off the bench on that delayed penalty and hammered it, and Andy Green blocks it in front. But this is the first time David's been shut down since what, 2014 for seven games straight?
Seven games. Yep.
That's distressing among a couple other things within the Bruins lineup. I think there is something to be said for that. Like David scored those when he scored 48 goals. Those were automatic.
Yeah.
So that certainly affects your team. It changes how it works.
Nick Foligno gets into the fight with Matt Martin. We praised him on the air, rightfully so. It was a classic response of you don't, even if it's accidentally, get your hand up, which he did. Matt Martin got his glove into the jaw of Pastrnak. Nothing was called. And next shift, that's what you want to happen. That wasn't what happened for Patrice Bergeron a couple of times and in other instances. Foligno has took it upon himself. I had him on the air. We were on the air with him on Wednesday morning, Razor. And he, you know, I asked him about, you know, how he's doing. Cause I would ask him the same question I said in the locker room. Are you feeling it, man? And how much so? And he says, yeah, cause he hasn't scored. He's like, I am. And, getting away from my game, I admit it. I'm starting to float away in certain areas. Well, it looked to me like he wasn't floating in the game. Look, he is what he is right now, Razor. I get it. But something's better than nothing in my book. I'm a Matt Martin fan. I've known Matt since before he was actually an NHLer when I was with the Islanders organization. Good kid, honest player. But it had to be done. I mean, I think it did help. It gave the team a little bit of a spark.
Yeah. It was good to see somebody do it. And again,
you're not convinced. You're not convinced. I can tell
Uncle Nick. On Uncle Nick, no. I mean, he's making $3.8 million. He hasn't scored since he left Columbus. So,
I'm with you on that. That's it's not
troublesome. Yeah, troublesome. Yeah. I mean, I've heard, you know what? It's not always fair. It's just I've heard so much about why they signed Linus Allmark to $5 million a year. Well, Nick Foligno's making 3.8, and that's more of a problem at this point now for me. And yeah, he's a guy who will fight. He's a great person. He's a leader. He's a guy who's played in the NHL for so long. And yeah, he's willing to do anything, and he's fighting it, and I get it, but these are the games tonight where you'd like to see him chip in, and you need something more than just the, you know, that 5 minute. That's all.
Okay. This is a good question. And you know, let's do this right here. And this is a good spot to just quickly talk about Sparks and Apex. And then I want to ask you about that, about stepping up and who our top two or three players coming into this game should, could, needed to step up the most. So I'm going to get back to that, but let's talk about the Apex Entertainment and the great facility they have out in Marlboro. 100,000 square feet of fun, and the weather is always perfect at Apex. You go there, get into the bumper cars, the racetracks, whatever it is, Razor. If you go out there and do it, you're going to have a great time. And apexentertainment.com is where you go to check things out. They've got a lot of great, just all different types of games. Was there a most entertaining moment of the game for you? I mean, it really wasn't from Vegas. Was there a most entertaining game from the Islanders? Can you pick one there?
Yeah, I mean, the Foligno fight was fun. I mean, we haven't seen one of those in a while. I think the Allmark save, diving in the third period with his glove, was entertaining to me. He was athletic. I liked his game again tonight. And as a goaltender, I know how annoying that one is, because again, you're out of your routine. You don't know who's playing. You don't know why you're playing. You know what's going on. So
I assumed
he was starting either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, agreed. I guess the question, not to dovetail too much off of the Apex entertaining moment of the game, does he play the next two? Does Kyle Kizer get in on Sunday, assuming there's a game? I think you don't play him. I don't think you play him all three. I don't. I think you play him Saturday, Montreal, and it's the backup goalie Blues game. And hey, kid, give here you go. Give us a spark type of game.
Yeah, then that could back into Sparks. And that's how many goalies get their starts in the NHL. And I've been talking about this, and we can go to this a little bit later with some of these young guys. Like, these are the chances. These horrible spots, or what perceived as horrible spots, are how you start NHL careers for a lot of guys. Not everyone's a first-round pick. You have to kind of make your way, and a lot of times it starts in the bad game, the bad start that you don't expect to win, and you go find a way to win, and all of a sudden you get some rope.
Yeah. All right, so that is a great way to talk quickly about the Sparks skate sharpener. We hope, if Kyle Kizer plays, that he provides the spark that the Bruins need. And that, with that said, then again, we hope anybody helps spark the Bruins to a victory coming up Saturday in Montreal. Sparks skate sharpener, Razor and I have talked about it numerous times. We love this product. It does everything you could ask for out of an at-home skate sharpener. Go to sparkshockey.com. Use the code MORNINGBREW. Put it in there. You'll get free shipping. They also have some other great deals on their website. It's a godsend for anybody out there who is looking to keep their skates clean, their kids' skates clean. I mean, whatever, Razor. Look into it. It will pay for itself. And I mean, it's to the point, actually, you and I, I don't say it's hard promoting it, because I'll do an infomercial for it all, I'll do an infomercial on the street corner with it. That's how much I love it.
Oh, I know. Between Apex, where I can rip around on go-karts and then go shoot hoops, and Sparks, it's the best. I would do both just for the sake of doing it. Tell all my friends. And yeah, the Sparks got used again today. Bang it out. It's the best. The machine is the best.
There is an immense feeling of satisfaction and gratification every single time I use the Sparks sharpener. and I check whether it's my skates. I haven't been skating much because of the shoulder injury, but obviously Jake skates. I check them out and I'm like, ah, clean. And then I do my little stripe on the side and I put a little of that lube on it too. Like I pretend I'm keto in the Bruins locker room. And so it's very satisfying. Go check out sparkssharpener.com. All right. This is what I want to talk about last couple of minutes right here, bud. We had some players, in my opinion, that really had that, as you talked about, opportunity to step up, to spark the team, so to speak. Jesper Froden, however we're pronouncing it, comes in. I wasn't looking to him for the spark. Kid's first game, 26, 27 years old. Just let him go. However, Jack Stanika, I was looking for a spark. I was looking. That was one guy. The other guy that I was looking for, Charlie Coyle. I was thinking maybe, you know, that it's not first line center. It's just you are the top center right here. And it'd be nice, you know, that would be, yeah. And he struggled in the faceoff circle. He did have four hits, but he was just 5 for 13. Stanika, by the way, played 16 and a half minutes. He was 4 of 9 in the faceoff circle, had three hits, a couple of giveaways. Did you notice Stanika enough in the game? No.
I can't believe he played 16 minutes.
And a half.
That's who I that's who I wanted to fight, Mike Martin. That's I wanted him to go and
he's not gonna fight Matty Martin. He's not gonna.
No, I get it. I know he has no chance against Matt Martin, but I just want to see some, like, I know Foligno can do that. Foligno, and listen, Foligno probably did that when he was 19 years old. And he might have got his ass handed to him, but he jumped in and did that to prove that he wanted to be in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm at with Jack. I need to see that he wants to play in the NHL on whatever it is. And that might sound a little like old school, and I'm typically not that person, but it's got to be something. If you come into this game and the clock is ticking in a big way. In a really big way.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, he knows that he's going to be up in theory for probably the next five games, right? He knows it.
Mm-hmm.
For five, whatever it is that we have left on the schedule before. So I don't know. This is a huge chance for him. And it would be nice for him to really show something instead of just almost getting there. Get there, finish, do everything. Charlie McAvoy had kind of an uncharacteristic game. I would say five giveaways. Now, again, it's, you know, subjective, rink to rink and everything, but he did turn the puck over a bit. Probably trying to do too much, played over 20 minutes, trying to lead the team. But, yeah, I was looking to Stanika and Coyle as my guys to really step up. And Mike Riley, too. I mean, Riley, I know he got the goal at the end of the game. I thought he was okay. I just thought, but then again, I did think the effort, when it was all said and done, the cumulative effort of the team, Razor, I thought it was there, which I know, I hate to say this. I found that positive.
No, I do too. And that's, it's, I don't want to, I'm usually, I'm, it takes a lot to be critical. I don't want to be critical. I'm not trying to be critical. I get frustrated when I see opportunities for guys. It's more than it's that's all it was. I think everyone gave a great effort. Foligno gave a great, they all tried. It's just when there's, this is an opportunity week. And if I'm in charge of a team, I'm looking at this and I'm as with a fine tooth comb the next 6 days. And I'm really going to make decisions on guys' careers in the next six games, mm-hmm. in these situations, in these critical situations where I don't have.
But isn't it hard to judge? But isn't it hard to judge some of them, Razor? On the flip side, because they don't really have an NHL lineup, a complete NHL lineup out there. So isn't it, you know, you want to judge a certain guy, like, oh, I'll use Jesper. You want to judge him, but yet, you know, I know he's a different case, but you know what I mean, type of thing. He's out there with a very incomplete lineup. How much can a kid do?
Well, we're talking. Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm judging the guys that want to be, or we perceive to be NHL players. and Charlie Coyle's making $5 million a year. I mean, you gotta lean on him at some point. Jack Stanica, I put 15 pounds on all summer and I'm ready to play in this league. All right, let's see it. And there's lots of guys in the league that are scoring goals that are his age, that are played his games in the minors. Like, you go around the league and you can find guys that have 6, 7, 10 goals in the league that are establishing themselves. And if you want to be that guy, you got to do it.
Do you think, as I look at the minutes again from the game, we get close to wrapping this thing up here. Kuhlman played 649 against the Islanders. Curtis Lazar, 945. You think Curtis Lazar could get a little more? Do you think he could, or is it just not him? Because I'm looking at others. You know, Froding got 13 minutes of ice time. He had 3 hits, he had 2 shots. I mean, I keep giving him a chance, though. Obviously, he wasn't expected to be up. I mean, Taylor Hall, by the way, it was a mixed bag again for me. You want to talk about stepping up? Mm-hmm. There's another one. It was a mixed bag. I noticed him at times. Yeah. I did.
I think he goes hand in hand with Coyle, right? And David, all 3 of those guys. Like, that's the one where we're turning the reins over to you, Patrice. That everyone maybe says that. There are a lot of people are saying he's going to retire at the end of this year. All right, we're turning it over to Coyle, Pasternak, and Hall. All right, well.
I thought David tried to do
that. But he drew a penalty in the third. Sometimes he works. Sometimes, you know, like some, it does. He has the ability. There's no question. It's.
Yeah.
But across the board, it's a tough spot. It's a tough game. I'm going to judge them on the next 4, 5, 6 games if they play here. Yeah. They can ramp up into these situations. I think it got thrown on everybody pretty quickly in the last 2 days. So I'm not completely down, but I would like to see them break out. Yeah.
All right. Well, the plan is, the schedule is, that Razor and I will have another morning brew with Jaffe and Razor post game Sunday after the Ottawa game. So that is December 23rd. So that's the plan. That's the – no, I'm sorry. 12
– No, not the 23rd. We're not getting there yet. Right. I got a lot of shopping to do.
The 19th. So it's a 5 o'clock game, excuse me, in Ottawa. And the plan is we may have a guest join us for that post game, that morning brew with Jaffe and Razor as well. But we'll have to wait and see. I mean, I guess if the Bruins don't play, Razor and I could always sit down and do one – a show regardless there, but let's cross our fingers that no more positive results come back. I'm so sick and tired of the freaking term positive result, because it's the antithesis of what positive really means to me. Let's see. Bruins now have lost the last couple of games. The Bruins are now 14-10-2. They still got some games in hand on teams in the Eastern Conference. The playoff picture is not really what we're looking at right now. We are looking at the COVID list. Who's in, who's not. All right, that's going to wrap up Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. Again, one more time, our hope is to be with you after the game on December 19th. In the meantime, everybody, please, please, please stay healthy, stay safe, and as always, enjoy that coffee.